Hi, I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and you're listening to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Hi, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine. Today I'm joined by Ken Rausch, who is the manager of youth hockey for USA Hockey. Ken is in Salt Lake City at the USA Hockey High School National Championships, kind of the event that kind of kicks off all of our nationals, which start this week, and we'll be going full bore next week with all of our youth hockey and girls national championships. So, hey, Ken, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no problem, Harry. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
And so what rink are you at in Utah?
We're at the Salt Lake Sports Complex. This is actually just adjacent to the campus of the University of Utah, which I believe was used for some figure skating events and as a practice rink for the 2002 Olympics.
Oh, that's awesome. So obviously probably a pretty nice facility.
Yeah, you know, it's a great facility. If you walked in there, you would never know it's, 10 or more years old. They keep it in pristine condition, and it's great. It's almost an ideal site for a national event. I actually talked to Kevin McLaughlin last night and said, you know, it's a venue that we could use for a multitude of different events for USA Hockey.
So how many sheets is this venue?
It's two sheets, has an Olympic-sized pool as well. And it's just spectacular.
So Ken, it's been about a decade since Salt Lake hosted the Olympics. Just from your time being in travels of being in Utah, what has been the impact on youth hockey and grassroots hockey in the state of Utah, based on the fact that the world's greatest tournament was held there?
I think it's been good. I think their numbers have gone up youth hockey wise, and the high school hockey is actually not too bad. I mean, as far as the level of play, I was talking to one of the organizers of the event, and he said, you know, if you look back probably 10 years or so ago, you had kids playing high school hockey who were literally trying the game for the first time and getting out on skates for the first time. And now you have some fairly, some good players who have played their whole life growing up.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so tell me a little bit about this tournament that you're at right now. How many teams are there? Or how many different states are represented? Stuff like that.
Off the top of my head, and I don't have the program in front of me, I know there's 18 state teams here. I think there's 14 different states represented. It's kind of an ongoing battle that we're facing with USA Hockey, the difference between USA High School Hockey and Federation Hockey, where, you look at states like Minnesota and Massachusetts, who are known for their high school hockey. That's federated state high school hockey, so they're not part of the USA umbrella, unfortunately, for this kind of event. So it's not quite the upper-tier high school teams, but you do still have some very, very competitive teams. You have a team from Colorado, which, is, believe it or not, is also Federation, but this is also a USA Hockey team. They play as a team before the Federation season, so it's been a good transition for them. A team from Waterloo, Iowa is a real strong team. Believe it or not, there's a real strong team from North Broward, Florida, coached by ex-NHLer Peter Worrell, and there's another real strong team from Santa Margarita, California, coached by Craig Johnson.
Oh, that's fantastic. So a pretty good representation from different parts of the country.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do. You have teams from everywhere. You got, like I said, Florida. You got two teams from Arizona, two from Utah. You got a New Mexico team, a California team, Nebraska, Iowa. So you've got the great part of the country covered, and then two teams from Idaho as well.
Is anybody really? How long has the tournament been going on? Has anybody kind of really leaped to the front of the pack? Looking like they might be the team to beat.
Today's day three, so today's is kind of what we call moving day. 10 of the teams will end up headed home, and then we'll have the other eight will end up in the playoffs starting tomorrow. But I think the four that I mentioned right off the top, the Regis from Colorado, Santa Margarita, North Broward, and Waterloo, and actually you can throw the two Arizona teams in there too. They could sneak in. Any one of those teams could no doubt win this tournament.
That's great. That's great. And so this tournament wraps up Sunday?
Sunday morning, yes, it will be the championship game.
Nice, nice. Well, Ken, as we were talking about a little bit at the beginning of this podcast, this kind of is a kickoff to a pretty busy time for USA Hockey with all of our marquee events as an organization, which are our youth national championships. Can you just talk a little bit about the whole process of it must be a massive undertaking to put together, you know, youth hockey national championships at so many different levels?
Yeah, it is our busiest time of the year, and it's the biggest events we run, and like you said, they are our marquee events, and a lot does go into it. I mean, all the states will have their qualifying, so you have a state champion, and a state champion has to go to a district champion, and then a district to a region, and those ones are typically ones that advance to Tier 1, and then you have the Tier 2 tournaments as well, where we've tried to make it available from every state to participate if they want. So we could hold upwards of all the way up to 48 teams in our national championships at the Tier 2 level. So the amount of planning and execution that goes into this is immense, and you know, we can't thank our hosts and our volunteers enough.
Well, that brings up a good point. I mean, obviously the work that you and people like Kevin McLaughlin and Jody Penn in the USA Hockey's national office, the work that you do is immense. But I mean, it's a total team effort, isn't it? With all the volunteers that you have around the country.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, you know, at this event, we have Bob Mastin, who is the chair of the high school section, overseeing the whole tournament, and on a grand scheme, Norm Spiegel. His efforts are tireless. He's the chair of our national tournament committee, and the work he puts into this is—it's almost like it is his full-time job, and I know it is his full-time passion, which is what makes it great. But for these people who have other jobs to do what they do for us, is spectacular.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. So you've this is obviously, like I said, busy time for you. Not much time at home here in Colorado Springs for you, is there?
No, between this and some district player development camps going on, I'm on about a 5-day on the road, a day and a half at home schedule for the next couple of weeks. But then, you know, once we get past these next couple of weeks, then it settles down a little bit. But hey, we, you know, going into it, this is our busy time.
Absolutely. And so next week when the puck drops on the youth national championships, where will we find you then?
I'll be at the Tier 2 14 and under in Wayne, New Jersey.
Well, that's awesome. They do a great job of hosting tournaments there, that's for sure.
Yeah, they've hosted them before, and there's a reason why we've given them another one and probably will in the future again, because they do a great job.
Well, just a couple more things about this tournament that you're at now. How does the quality of play differ from, let's say, what we'll see next week with some of the midget teams that will be going up for national championships?
I think the biggest difference is, you know, the midget Tier 1s, for example, you know, those kids are all primarily looking for Division I college scholarships. So kids that are here, there's probably a handful of kids here on some teams that could play on those teams, but the teams from top to bottom, the depth isn't quite there. And these kids are more from non-traditional areas, and as, you know, I know as we move into the 2010 decade, the non-traditional areas are becoming less and less, so it is non-traditional. It's becoming traditional. But primarily that is the main difference is, you know, at those big tournaments, you're going to have kids who have been recruited places, or they're recruited to play midgets, recruited to junior places, junior teams, and then on to future college teams where, you know, these kids are still more of a community-based type of deal.
And the good part of it is they are, for the most part, they're representing their high schools, which is a quite an honor for most of these kids, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a great thing, and we actually had a little round table this morning about how to keep growing high school hockey, and that is one of the things that you know, some of the coaches and administrators are talking about is, you know, if you're not going to be that top-tier player, and that's okay. I mean, hockey is a game for everyone. There's only a certain percentage that can go on and keep playing at the next level. Instead of, you know, traveling a ton and spending, you know, an absurd amount of money at times playing in front of no one, play for your high school and play in front of all your friends and family. It's a great, great experience.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So that leads to the question, how are the crowds there? You getting some decent crowds watching these games, or is it mostly parents and friends?
I mean, it's mostly friends and family, but you know, they've done a good job of bringing a decent amount. You know, the Utah teams have brought a fair amount of
Well, that's what counts. Well, hey Ken, if I'm interested in learning more about or following how the tournament's going, where could I go to get any more information about it?
Three main spots I would say would be our main website, USAHockey.com, and click on the link to the National Championships page. You can also follow us on Twitter. Everyone from the office who is at a national site is tweeting the scores and finals almost instantaneously, so you actually get the best updates on Twitter at USAH Nationals. And, I know at USA Hockey is also retweeting a lot, and I myself am retweeting them, and I am at USA Roush.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, Ken, I'll let you get back to watching the action. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and look forward to speaking with you again maybe next week from Wayne, New Jersey.
Yeah, hopefully I'll cross a path sometime soon back in the office.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time, Ken. Appreciate it.
No problem, Harry. Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Stay tuned next week when we will be broadcasting and interviewing from a lot of different sites that will be hosting USA Hockey National Championships around the country. Well, that's it for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Make sure you stick around next week when we'll have more news from around the hockey world.